Have you been, has this been good? It's been good for me too, because it's taken me to another dimension of faith. Amen? You know, we're going to need to walk in faith. We're going to need to live by faith, because this world is not going to get better. And but your faith is the victory over this world. Through faith, you can accomplish anything and conquer anything. Amen? If Jesus, if he didn't mean for us to live by faith, then he should have never put it in his word. But he said, the just shall live by faith. How many just are here? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're just. Amen? And that doesn't mean you're not ordinary. It means you're unique. You're justified, just as if you've never sinned. Praise God. And if you want to follow along with me tonight, I want you to go to Luke chapter 17. And the thing that came to me is governed by his word and growing in his word. You know, we can hear people. You've probably heard them too. You know, someone's encountering a problem. And I know one person said to me, he said, well, my grandmother has more faith than you have in your pinky, right? But yet she was struggling and she was faltering, you know? And sometimes we have to get a right perspective of faith. You know, some people who say they have strong faith, but yet give in to temptation. How many know if you got strong faith, you're going to resist temptation? Amen? To have strong faith means you're an overcomer. It means you're victorious. It means you're a winner. It means that you walk in the authority that God's given you. And so we really have to look at, when someone says they have faith, we have to really look and see what that means. But you know what? There is an answer to every one of the problems that you face in life. It's called faith in God works all the time. Say this, say faith in God cannot fail. It really can't. So let's look in Luke 17. And, well, we'll just go ahead and go to verse 5. Jesus was talking to his disciples here. And, well, you know what? I think we just need to go back to verse 1. Luke 17, 1. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Say, offenses will come. In other words, offense may knock at the door, but that doesn't mean you have to answer it. To be offended is a choice. Okay? But woe unto him through whom they come. So you don't want to be the cause of offense. All right? If it were better for him that a millstone were hang around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And that word offend means to injure. Okay? To do harm. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to who? Uh-oh. Did you know that you can't control anybody but yourself? So if you try to control others, it's not going to work too well. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, what? Forgive him. And if he trespass against you, 7 times in a day, how many times should you forgive him? 7 times. Notice, though, if he turn again saying, I repent. Right? They have to repent. Okay? Now, the apostles were having a hard time getting a hold of this. And in verse 5 is where we really want to go tonight. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. If the Lord's going to ask you to forgive 7 times, it's going to require faith. You're going to need more faith. Okay? All right, Lord, I'm going to need some help on this. It's a legitimate question, isn't it? Now, let's look at how Jesus answered their question. And the Lord said, what? If you what? Now, wait a minute, Lord. Maybe you didn't hear me. Lord, I said, increase my faith. Let me ask you this question. How does faith come? Does faith come through prayer? No, it doesn't. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by prayer. Jesus said to them, if you had faith. They're saying, Lord, increase our faith. They thought that they had some faith. But Jesus said to them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, you may have heard this before, but the mustard seed is the smallest plant. How many grains did he say if you had? One grain. Can you make, if you had one grain of grain, can you make a meal out of one grain? What do you need to do with that one grain in order to make a meal out of it? You've got to plant it, and once it's planted, it will produce more than that one, won't it? Okay. If you had faith as a mustard seed, you might what? What does faith do? Faith speaks. Faith says. In order to operate in faith, you're going to have to, your mouth is going to have to be used in the operation, right? Does anybody drive their car without any hands? Maybe some of you shouldn't answer that question. But my point is this, your hands are necessary for the safe driving of that vehicle, aren't they? Well, if you want to operate in faith, your mouth is a necessary tool to operate in faith. Now, Jesus said, you might say to what? To a sycamine tree. Be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it what? Notice, when a person is operating in faith, faith will work. Now, was Jesus really concerned about a tree? But let's look at some qualities of a tree. Trees have two things. They have roots and they have fruit. Amen? Now, he's talking about a tree that's right in front of them. Okay? And it really doesn't matter. The tree is not the important thing, but trees represent problems. They represent challenges, difficulties, things that are in your way. Okay? Let's say Nadine needs a miracle. And there's this big sycamine tree. And she can't go this way, she can't go this way, but she's got to remove that tree. The tree just represents a problem. So what did the Lord say? If she had faith, what is she to do? And what is she to tell that tree? See, when you pluck up a tree from the roots, it's gone, isn't it? You know, if you pluck up a problem from its root, that means it can no longer have a grip on you. See, some problems, let's say, you know, cancer is a problem, isn't it? Often cancer starts off small, but then what happens? It grows. Why? Because it has put down roots in your body. And it's taking the good things from your body and it's causing it to grow and it's bringing harm to the rest of the body. And unless it's dealt with, unless it's removed, it eventually is going to take over. Right? If you don't deal with cancer, cancer will deal with you. So you've got to deal with the root of cancer. And how you deal with the root of cancer is you speak life to it. But in order to do that, you're going to have to be governed by the Word of God. All right? You're going to have to be governed. Now, Jesus said, if you had a very small amount of faith, you would say. See, speaking God's word is like planting his seed. How you plant God's seed is you speak it. And the more you speak it, the more gets planted, and the more gets planted, the greater the harvest. Are you seeing that? This is how faith works. Jesus is telling them, you know, the apostle said, increase our faith. He didn't answer their question. If someone has faith and they're increasing it, it's going to be evidence in what they say. Now, don't be too hard on the apostles, because guess what? We all grow in revelation. Amen? Don't criticize someone for not knowing something. But you know what? The Bible says, my people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. But aren't you glad that we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's Word to give us the knowledge that we need? Okay? We're supposed to speak to the tree just like we're supposed to speak to the mountain in Mark 11. You're supposed to speak to the problems in your life. Now, he didn't say complain about them. You know, if you complain about a problem, that problem's more likely to grow. He didn't say criticize the problem. If you criticize the problem, that problem is more likely to grow. You have to speak faith. And faith comes by what? Hearing what? So you got to speak God's word to your situations. And the more you speak it, the more seed you're planting and the greater harvest you're going to have. All right? So here's what we need to do. When you have a problem in your life, your first response, how many want to be a first responder? Did you know how you respond first will determine what God will do next? Your first response when you're faced with a problem is go to the Word. Because when you're thirsty, where do you go? When you're hungry, where do you go? You look for food. So when you have a problem, you need to go to God's Word. Find out what God says about that problem. Okay? Secondly, you need to find the promise. God's promises are yes and amen, right? Can God's promises fail? No, Abraham knew that God was able to perform what he said, and he was able to keep his promise. And Abraham trusted in the promise, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Okay? And thirdly, you need to plant the seed. Hearing brings the word to you, it puts it in your heart, but speaking it plants it in your circumstance. Did you hear me? Hearing God's word, faith comes. Okay? What do you do with the word that comes? You just let it sit there? No, you've got to speak it out. When you speak God's word, it turns it on or it activates it. I could go over here and I could describe to you this dark area. But wouldn't it be just as easy to flip a switch and turn the light on? See, when you speak God's word, it's like flipping a switch. The power is there, but the words that you speak manifest the power. Isn't this how God created the world? The world was dark, void, without form, right? God didn't talk about the darkness. He didn't talk about the lack of form, but what did he say? He said, let there be light. What happened? The Holy Ghost took what he said and he brought it into manifestation. He brought light when there wasn't light there before. But by speaking the word of God, there's power in the word. Okay? So you got to plant the seed, and you got to keep on planting it. Harvest comes with expectation. See, really, when the Bible often talks about hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the substance of things you expect. So hope is expectation. And when you mix expectation, it's going to help you to get the harvest. When a farmer plants corn in his field, what does he expect? He will purposely have machinery to harvest corn. He's not going to have a machinery that harvests wheat, because wheat is different than corn, isn't it? I don't know. Do you use the same equipment to harvest wheat or corn? You know, I don't know, so. Okay. Now, watering and weeding and expectation, watering and weeding aids expectation because it helps to get the harvest. See, when you plant a seed, the farmers rely on rain or irrigation. If they don't have a lot of rain, they get water to the plant so that it can grow, right? Now, how do you water God's seed? Any ideas? You praise. You thank God. See, so you have a problem in your life. You need a solution to that problem. You go to the answer, right? Every test that you have in life is an open book test. Aren't you glad for that? And what you don't remember, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what He spoke to you. So every problem you face is an open book test. You can go to the book to find the answer. You start speaking the answer, all right? You're putting that seed in the ground, all right? And you feel like you've got enough seed, now you start praising God for the seed that you put in that ground. You start praising God for what He said. You start praising God that His promises are true. You start praising God that He cannot fail. Amen. And guess what? All of a sudden now, your seed starts to grow. And as that seed grows and develops, there's going to come a point in time when you reap the harvest. And the harvest is always more than the seed. So the Lord, did the Lord increase their faith? No, He didn't. They didn't understand how faith works. You can't increase what you don't have. They said, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had faith. And I can just imagine, huh? They're scratching their heads. Well, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For them, Romans wasn't written yet. The only knowledge of God's Word they had was Jesus, because He was the Word made flesh. And He used these things to teach them about faith. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit about how faith grows. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to notice that you may start off with the grain of mustard seed of faith, but it's not going to stay a grain if it's planted, watered, and it grows. Isn't that true? It won't stay little, it'll get bigger. Okay? So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting or meet, because that your faith, what? How does your faith grow? Exceedingly. Do you realize that if you're planting the Word, you're speaking the Word, You're speaking the word. 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 I have just planted a row of word. Okay? Now, the words that I have planted, you're speaking God's word, right? Now, these words have to govern every other conversation that you have. In other words, if you said that by his stripes I'm healed, if you said God sent his word and healed them, if you said that Jesus went about healing, teaching and preaching and healing, guess what? Any other conversation that you have now cannot differ from what you planted. If any other conversation that you have differs with what you planted, you're destroying your crop. If you speak anything different than what you planted, you have just spread pesticide on your crop. I mean, not pesticide because that gets rid of bugs, but something that destroys crops. Herbicide, there you go, thank you. And here's what happens. People planted that seed, but then they started planting seeds of negativity, of doubt, and unbelief. They had regular conversations that differed from what they said here. And this will negate that. Because they didn't allow God's word to govern them. I'm going to make this clear in just a minute. Okay? So Paul was thanking them that their faith grows exceedingly. And what grows with faith? How can you tell if someone's faith is growing? Their love is growing. If you're not growing in love, I can guarantee you you're not growing in faith. Because in another verse, the Bible says faith works by what? Love. Notice what Paul said. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. So you know when someone's growing in faith is when they're growing in love for people. Okay, go on to verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, what's joining their faith and growing along with faith? What is patience? What is patience? A fruit of the Spirit. So they're growing in love, and they're growing in patience, and they're growing in faith. Because guess what? Love and patience will aid faith. If you're not growing in those things, I guarantee you that you're not growing in faith. Because you've got to allow faith to govern your relationships with people. You've got to, didn't Jesus talk before in Luke 17 about forgiving people by faith? And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. We can't do it. That was my in-laws from Guyana doing FaceTime. So hopefully they remembered we're in church. If you don't know what FaceTime is, you can see and talk. It's like George Jetson. It's a video call. Look at verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. So these people were suffering, but they're doing it with patience. And while they're suffering, their love is growing. That means their faith is growing exceedingly. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So even though the Thessalonians, they were experiencing suffering, their conversation didn't differ from the words that they planted. Even while they were suffering, they were praising God. They were loving people. They were being patient. And, and, And Paul noticed that their faith was growing exceedingly. Okay? Psalm 84:7. Go over there quickly. Psalm 84:7. They go from what? Strength to what? See, when you're in faith, you don't go from strength to weakness. You go from strength to strength. What if you're facing a situation that you don't know if you're going to make it through? You feel like you're going to drown. You feel like you're overwhelmed. God even promises to give you strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. He'll give power to the faint, and he'll increase the strength of them that have no might. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. So when you don't have the strength, God will give you the strength. So guess what? There's no excuse. How many people believe Philippians 4:13? What does it say? Now, watch this. I'm going to plant the impossible. I'm going to plant possibility. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just get a call from the doctor. You have a terminal illness. Whew, I don't know if I can do this. What did I just do? I planted the seed here. But when I got the news, I just undid all the seeds that I planted. Why? I didn't spend enough time with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I didn't let that govern my thoughts, govern my actions, govern my words, govern my behavior. See, if I'm really in faith, then no matter what news I get over here, I'm going to keep saying that, because that's what it means to really be in faith. Amen? This is how faith works. Don't just write these scriptures down. Psalm 92:13. The Bible says you're going to flourish in God's courts. Everybody say flourish. Does that speak of growing? Okay. Proverbs 4:16 to 18 to 19. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter. Is the light increasing? Yes, that's how it should be in our life. Okay? John 15. Is God interested in us being fruitful? He said, if you're not fruitful, what's he going to do? He's going to prune you. And if you are fruitful, you're still going to get pruned, but that's to cause you to be more fruitful. God is interested in fruitfulness. He's interested in growth. He's interested in increase. He's interested in abundance. He's interested in us abounding. But if we're not allowing the word to govern us, then we're going to lose a lot of seed that we plant. And then we're going to wonder, well, how come I didn't reap a harvest? I said this, I said that. Yeah, but then you said this over here. And what you said here was not the same that you said there. So you've just confused your heart. Because for whatever reason, you got out of faith. From here to here, you got out of faith. Does everybody see that? Okay. There's so much. Let me make it really simple. All right? God's word needs to be in your heart. Proverbs 4, Romans 10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. Proverbs 4 tells us to guard our heart. Why? Because out of it flow, what? The issues of life, right? Okay, you got to get God's word in your heart. You have to replace your old thoughts with new thoughts. You have to renew the mind. How do you renew the mind? Study the word of God. Why? Before you knew Christ, your mind was messed up. I don't care how good of a person you were. Before Christ, your mind is messed up because you're in darkness. You only come to the light when you come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, you're delivered from that kingdom into the kingdom of light where you need some sunglasses. Amen, where the sun is shining on you. Right? When you're on the beach somewhere. Hallelujah. So you need to replace your old thoughts with new thoughts, and your new thoughts have to originate in God's word. Man, you go to that church and they brainwash you. Yeah, because my mind was so filthy it needed a good cleaning. Scrub it, Lord, scrub it. You need to receive God's words and hide his commands in you and incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Go to Proverbs 2 for just a minute. We got to look at this. Proverbs chapter 2. I want you to see how the word of God has to affect your whole being. Okay? When the word of God affects your whole being, no matter what news you get, you're going to stay in faith. Right? What was the doctor's report to Abraham and Sarah? I'm sorry, Abraham and Sarah, but you are too old to have a baby. Really? Well, that's not what God said. Thank you very much, doctor. What happened? Did Abraham and Sarah prove the doctor's report wrong? Yes, they did, because they took it to a higher source. Amen? Okay, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, notice this word, if you will receive my words. Whose words? God's words. And hide my commandments with you. That word hide also means to treasure. So you're supposed to have his word in you, right? And you're supposed to hide or treasure his commands. What's a command? Is a command an option? Is a command if you feel like it? No. A command is do this or else. Okay, verse 2. So we're getting the word in us, we're treasuring his commands, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. The Bible says that Jesus is our wisdom and Jesus is the word, so the word is our wisdom. Okay, so the word's getting in you, it's affecting your ears. Apply your heart to understanding. Who has to apply your heart? Les, can I apply your heart? Who has to apply your heart? What do you apply your heart to? To understanding, right? Because when you understand something, you can operate in it. So when you read the word, you need to ask yourself, how does this apply to me, and how can I apply myself to do this? How many has ever applied for a job? You fill out what? An application. That application contains information, right? And whatever information you put on that paper, that's what they consider about hiring you. So ask yourself, how does this apply to me, and how can I apply to do this? Verse 3, if you cry after knowledge, what do you cry with? Your voice. You've got to use your voice. You've got to cry after knowledge, okay? Lift up your voice for understanding. Is that quiet? No, you got to be like Bartimaeus, who was the blind man who heard of Jesus. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They told him to be quiet. He got louder. Listen, when the devil tells you to be quiet, get louder. Do the opposite of whatever the devil tells you to do. Okay, verse 4. If you seek her as silver, where do you find silver? You mean I got to actually dig in the book to find the silver? Well, I don't like to dig. Well, then you ain't going to get no silver. And I know that that's not good English, but I'm making a point. Listen, if you want the silver, you're going to have to treat God's word like silver. That means you got to dig for it. You got to dig into these pages. You got to drill into these pages. You got to blast into these pages. Because silver is under the ground. And search for her as hid treasures. Now, if someone said in this room tonight, I've hid $100,000, would you like, oh, look, I hope I find the $100,000. Is that how you would search for a treasure? Show me how you would search for a treasure. There you go. But so many people aren't willing to search for the treasure. And they wonder why they never find it. Some people think, well, if I'm in here, the treasure should come to me. If that happened, then we wouldn't need any mining now, would it? Would we? If treasure would just, if you could just sit down and do nothing and have treasure come to you. Verse 5. Then, notice then, when you allow the word of God to affect your whole being, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. And find the knowledge of God. When you find the knowledge of God, you've come to the living waters. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Okay? So you've got to allow the word of God. This is how we got to treat the word of God. You must live out God's principles in your daily life. We talked about that. The just shall live by faith. Amen? This is how faith operates. If you're going to get in faith, you can't. Faith is not. Listen, don't approach faith half-heartedly. You know, if I was a baseball player and a fly ball was hit to me, if I ran like that, I would probably drop every fly ball that came to me. And this is sometimes what we do with God. Whatever. Half the heart. How much of your heart does God want? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments. And upon these two commandments hang all the law. Aren't you glad that Jesus made it so simple? He went from 10 to 2. If you say you can't, no, those who say they can't and those who say they can are both right. What does faith do? Faith speaks. What does faith talk to? It talks to bodies. It talks to trees. It talks to the wind. It talks to dead men. It tells lame hands to stretch forth your hand. Right? Faith speaks. How do you know you're in faith? You know you're in faith by speaking God's word, and you know you're in faith because your love is also growing. Those are two indications. Your love walk really is how you measure faith. Faith is not measured by how many scriptures you know. Faith is measured by how you apply God's word to your life. How does God's word change you? How does God's word govern your behavior? How does God's word govern your thoughts? How does God's word govern your words? Does that mean if I'm in faith, will I always be perfect? No, because I live in a human body. This body that I have right now is susceptible to make mistakes. guess what? You're going to miss it. That's why God included forgiveness and repentance. If God knew we were going to miss it, otherwise he would have never preached repentance. A repentance is a do-over. Praise God for do-overs. His mercies are new every morning. Go with me to Luke chapter 13, then I'm going to close. You know, if you read 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells you things to add to your faith. You ought to look at that list sometime to see if you're missing any ingredients. Because if you're missing some of those ingredients, your faith just won't taste like it should. You'd be like, my faith is missing something. Luke 13, I told you where to go, right? Okay. I've got so much to say and so little time. Father, you know, one of these Wednesday nights, I think I just need to pray that the clock would stop and everything would stop so I can get this out. And let's see, where do I want to go here? Okay. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the churches on a Wednesday. There it says the Sabbath. But you know what? The same principle applies. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. For how long? 18 years is a long time to deal with something, right? But I want you to see how quickly faith can change things in your life. And she was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. How'd you like to be like this for 18 years? For 18 years, she just accepted this condition. She didn't know that she had a spirit of infirmity. She didn't know why her body was acting like this. And could in no wise lift herself up. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, aren't you glad that Jesus came, he sees you? Jesus came to seek and save that which was what? Listen, he came to seek you out so that he could save you. He came to save men from their sins. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus sees you. He called her to him. Isn't that what Jesus does to us? We were lost, but now we're found. And when we're found, he brings us into him. He brings us to himself. He brings us into the Father. He brings us in. He brings us to himself. And said unto her, I want you to notice who's talking. Jesus, the word is about to say something to her. What does the word say? My, how did you get like that? No, that's not what the word said. The word said unto her, woman, you are loosed. Let me ask you the question. Did the woman hear him? Did faith come to the woman? Did she believe what was told her? Yes, she did. You guys get an A+. I want you to notice the word said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. So not only did he speak, but you know what? You got to let the word get involved in your business. I'm sorry, but God needs to have permission in your life to operate. He laid his hands on her. And immediately, she was what? And what happened when she was made straight? She glorified God. I don't think she ever heard that in 18 years. For 18 years, she heard how there's no cure. We're not going to fix the problem. You're always going to be like this. You're going to have to make adjustments in your clothes. For 18 years, she always heard nothing's going to get better. It's not going to change. You're in a terrible situation. You were born like this. It's God's will, until the truth came along and said something totally different to her than what was said to her before. And because the truth was spoken to her, this woman believed the truth, and she received the truth, and that truth changed her entire situation. Amen. And she was made straight. Because at that moment, in that instant, she decided she was going to let the Word of God govern her from now on. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. He needed a slap. And said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Healing is not by works, it's by faith. There was no work involved in this. This was faith. But that ruler needed hands laid on him suddenly. You know, sometimes you just want to lay hands on people suddenly and watch them fall under the power. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed. They ought to be. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Guess what? You are a son of Abraham. You are a daughter of Abraham. And as a son and a daughter of Abraham, you have rights, you have privileges, and you have access to all the benefits of God. Say, all the benefits of God are mine. Everything he said in his word belongs to me. It's mine. And I'm taking it now. And I'm going to carry it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm never going to let it go. And that's true faith. That's how faith works. Amen? Well, if you need prayer tonight, faith is here. And whatever you need, faith has the answer. And I just want, you know, if you don't need prayer, if you got to go, that's fine, you can go. But if you need prayer, if you need God to do something in your life, you know what? Let's just step out in faith, and let's just come with an attitude of receiving whatever God has. And God loves you so much. God cares about everything that concerns you. And only God can perfect that which concerns you. Amen? Well, we have Faith Booster tonight. God wants to boost your faith. He wants, you know what? When the supernatural connects with your faith, there's an acceleration. There's an acceleration, like when the space shuttle's taken off and that chemical reaction of those gases and those fluids, and it ignites, it sends the space shuttle into space. Well, God wants to send your problem into space where it's no longer around you. Amen? First of all, I want you to stand up. If you can stand up, stand up. If you can't stand up, you can sit down. And I want you to take a minute, and I want you to speak to the tree that is in your way. And you need to deal with the tree. It's not God's job to deal with the tree. He gave you the tools and the means to deal with your tree that's standing in your way. You need to speak to your tree right now in Jesus' name. That means you're going to have to use your mouth. You're going to have to say some words. Some of you, it might be lack. You don't know how God's going to meet your needs. You don't have to know how. You just have to trust Him that can make it possible. Amen. All things are possible to who? Them that believe. If you're a believer tonight and you need God to do something in your life, I want you to come up right now. I'm just going to pray. We're just going to take a few minutes. God can do this quickly. Amen. That's the beauty about God. Gracious and greatly to be praised. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for being with us on a Wednesday night, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day, every week, every month, every year, Lord. You're faithful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. You are worthy of our trust. We bless you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.